Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Not working, huh? Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning into the second hour of the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We are here every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Who's we? Well, he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. And, of course, Nick Bodie is here every week on the boards. You don't plan on taking any long extended vacations in the near future, do you?
Not unless I get a significant pay raise, no.
Okay, yeah, don't hold your breath for that. All right, folks, 799-1250 is the phone number. So if you want to get in touch with us, just give us a buzz at 799-1250. And we'll talk about all kinds of different stuff. But Danny, you said you were gonna.
Oh yeah.
You were gonna mention something.
I was gonna talk about a lake.
Yeah.
And ask your expertise on big bass being in there.
Yeah.
So many years ago, I was reading in a Wisconsin magazine.
Yeah.
About a lake that supposedly had some possible 8, maybe 9 pound bass, giant bass.
Yeah.
And it being kind of a sleeper southern Wisconsin lake, Whitewater Lake.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
that
Danny,
was true.
I fished. There were three good sized tournaments out there, you know, 50 boat tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
I take it back. Two of them were 2-day tournaments, and one was a 1-day tournament. And the 2 2-dayers where you fished with a different person each day. And, I won 2 and came in second once, had big bass twice, and second big bass once. So I did really good out there. And yes, there's a lot of nice bass on Whitewater Lake. There's some big bass out there.
So yeah. when you got big bass, what was 5-6 pounders or what?
I think one of them was 5 pounds, 6 ounces.
Okay.
One was 4-12, which aren't. I mean, the 5-6 is nice.
Nice, but there are
nobody,
monsters
nobody
present.
Brought in any, like, 6-7, 8 pounders, you know, nothing like that. But they are out there. There's big bass there, yeah.
Still good lake, then?
I haven't been out there in a while, but I would imagine it would be.
You don't hear as much, because I was talking to a guy who claimed that he had got some monsters out there. And I said, well, is it as good now? He said, no. He said once they started having all the bass tournaments out there, it kind of...
The word got out. But, you know, before we get into that, we'll take this caller first. Who do you got, Nick?
The old Boulder Junction connection, Dennis.
Oh, great. Hey, Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection.
Who you calling old? Dennis is an old. He's a young guy.
Our old friend. What's up, Dennis?
My bones are kind of old and sore from shoveling snow.
I guess it's nuts up there, huh?
It is. We got another 3 inches last night, and that adds to our snowpack, which is anywhere from 35 to 40 inches on the ground right now, which is a lot of snow.
Oh, yeah. Over 3 feet of snow, on the ground.
That's... Yeah, and that's it's unbelievable. When I come down next week, I'll show you guys some pictures when I get down there for the sports show, and you won't believe it. It's a lot of snow up here.
Now,
go ahead.
Is that going to be next weekend you're going to be here?
Yes.
So you're going to come into the studio at like maybe 7 o'clock?
Yeah, if I can come in at 7 o'clock, I'll come in and spend the whole hour with you.
All right. Well, you got a deal there. Dennis, the Boulder Junction Connection will be live in the studio. And you'll be signing autographs too, right? Down at the sports show?
I have two fantastic prizes for your listeners too. We got two weekends up here that are going to be given away. We're going to come up with a theme for your show next week, and we're going to give them away to your listeners. So
now, are we telling people about that today? Because the show starts on when? Wednesday?
It starts on Wednesday, but the giveaway won't be till Saturday. I'll make the announcement actually at your show on Saturday.
Okay, so you got to wait a week, Tom.
Okay. Now, in years past, you gave away guided trips. You gave away free stays in the motel up there and all that, and dinners. So this sounds pretty neat.
It sounds like you got two great prize packages, and our listeners gives everybody a reason to tune in next week.
Yep, that's
sure,
right.
That's for sure. I'm trying to help you get listeners. And I know your producer was at our show in Madison last week. We had a sports show down at the Madison Expo Center, and your producer or somebody from your show was down there talking about advertising. So I know.
That was Ron Heidenreich.
Our
advertising manager. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Down there, our people told me that.
Yeah, the lady from the Boulder Junction Chamber of Commerce asked him to send her a proposal.
Okay.
For advertising, yeah.
He's already married. He doesn't need to send proposals.
Yeah, and he doesn't need my job either, Dennis. You tell him he's not the producer of this show.
Oh, yeah, Nick got offended here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. I got the titles wrong.
No problem, Dennis.
That's right. Got the titles wrong. That's all right, Dennis.
So do you know what booth number you're going to be in? Any details on the great sports show this week
We're
coming up?
We're going to be in the 500 aisle, but I can't tell you the exact number. I think it's 524, but I'm not positive about that. But we will give you those details. It will be in the 500 aisle, but I'll give you the details on Saturday.
Gotcha. And,
I'll tell you about it. Today's your show, so we'll get it next Saturday when I come down there.
And the sports shows at, State Fair?
Yeah, State Fair.
This year again?
State Fair Park, yep.
Yeah, Wednesday through Sunday.
So with 40 inches of snow, I imagine people are still snowmobiling up there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, anybody any ice fishing yet, or is that all done?
No, Dan, the snowmobiling trails are absolutely best they've ever been. They're beautiful. I've got photographs of those the other day from a snowmobiler. It's like a highway, but you're going through a tunnel in lots of areas. There's so much snow. But the lakes right now are tough. To get around is awfully difficult, and there's so much slush on the lakes right now. We had 18, 19, 20 inches of ice, but with all the snow weight, it's pushing that water up on top of the ice. It's making it extremely difficult to fish. And this is the last weekend anyway for walleye game fish
right. In
the northern. So
you're probably better off calling it a wrap as far as that's going and wait for the open water.
I think so. Or late ice is always good, but I don't know what's going to happen this year with all the snow and the water we're going to have.
Yeah, once that snow starts melting, it's going to be a lot of water on top of whatever ice is left, yeah.
Yes, there is. So,
oh, man.
We'll wait and see. I know it's going to be cold this next week again, and we got, like I say, we got 3 inches of snow again last night, so it keeps adding to the snow belt. So,
well, Dennis, we're looking forward to seeing you next week Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to enjoy seeing you guys, and I'll come down there, and we'll bring the package along, and I'll make the announcements on your show live.
So. All right. Sounds great, Dennis.
Take
thanks.
Care. Drive safe.
Talk to you guys later. Have a nice weekend.
All right. Yep. We'll see you then. Bye now. Yeah, that was Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection. Yeah, Ron Heidenreich was up at the Madison Fishing Expo, and he was looking for prospective advertisers. By the way, if anybody wants to advertise on the Cutting Edge Outdoors, all you got to do is go to ceoguys.com, and you'll find Ron's phone number, his name, phone number, photo, whatever. It's all on there. So, and then he'll get in touch with you, or you can get in touch with him.
Has Ron done the whitefish, or did he call us in about that?
Well, he canceled the one day because of the heavy snow when he was supposed to go. They canceled the one day. Now, I talked to Ron several times since then, but I neglected to ask him if he did do it. So maybe if he's listening, he'll give us a call and tell us if, or I could always just call him. So we'll find out. Maybe during the next break, I'll give Nick his phone number and we'll give Ron a call and see if he did go up there for the whitefish. But, you know, that Bay of Green Bay, Danny, can be dangerous, you know. That, I mean, especially when that ice starts breaking up. Remember the few years back when the people got stuck on the iceberg or whatever you call it, you know, when it cracked up and they're sitting out there, they got a truck out there and everything, and it's like, oh my goodness, just floating out there in the Bay of Green Bay.
Yeah, I knew a guy, I think it was 86, he was catching monster perch out there, but he spent the night out there on a iceberg. It cracked and broke off, and
yeah,
and then I don't know if I think he was out with a truck, and he survived it, but not a fun thing to have to have happen. One of the coolest stories I read. My dad used to have a membership to Outdoor Life Book Club, and I don't think my dad read a single book that came in that book club. But as a kid, I read every one.
You did, yeah.
And it's funny, you know, a lot of kids in schools these days are poor readers. And you ask them, well, do you read at home? And the answer is no. They don't do any reading. I did not get good reading any books at school. I got good at reading because I read on my own something I was interested in.
Right.
And so I read those books cover to cover, and the Outdoor Life, Field & Stream magazine, Sports Afield, cover to cover. And again, you want to get good at something, you got to do it. So anyway, getting off track here, but there was a story in one of the books, and it was titled The Day the Ice Went Out. And it was based on these guys, early 1900s, going and fishing for lake trout on Lake Superior.
Okay.
And, or maybe it was Lake Michigan. I don't know. I'd have to look again. I'm going to read that story again. So it was kind of during, I think, the Depression time. They really needed the food, and they would go out, and they'd use these really crude, I think they even had like wire line, and they'd fish in a couple hundred feet of water, and they'd be trying to jig these lake trout. And they're up there doing it, and the guy knew something was wrong when all of a sudden his line went sideways in the hole. And that meant that they were adrift.
Yeah, they're adrift.
Now, they actually had a boat, a skiff, that they would drag out with them for that eventuality. So a couple of them got in the skiff and rowed, and they thought, well, once we get to shore, we'll come back. Well, as it turned out, it widened so much and got so far that when they tried to come back, I think they actually had a Coast Guard guy in the story who was helping row the boat, the skiff, and I believe they died in the boat and froze to death. And the guy on the the guy who was out there on the ice actually eventually came to shore in Michigan. I think they were started in Wisconsin and then ended up in Michigan or something like that.
Yeah.
And this guy actually walked frozen to some house, farm country house, and his, you know, feet were frostbite, this and that, and out of the four or five guys, like only one guy lived, but it was a crazy, crazy story how, you know, there you'd be, and it was like blizzard cold conditions, crack opens up, and all of a sudden you're out there.
You start drifting away.
Really a scary, scary thing.
excuse me, that would be, that's a good story. Well, we got to take a quick break, folks. 799-1250 is the phone number if you want to get in a conversation about whatever. Got questions, comments, or you want to brag about a big fish like the one guy did on the email. Oh, that's right. You can also email us at ceoguys@yahoo.com. We'll be right back with more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
You'd be an ugly broad, buddy, even if you put a wig on and lipstick.
You ain't no trip to Hollywood yourself.
Okay. That's because we got those.
No trip to
Hollywood.
Because
we don't have fine features. We're the rough, rugged-looking guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was a good one.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening. Hopefully, just listening to us, you're waking up on Saturday morning. I saw an article this week. I didn't read it. I just saw the title that sleeping. I just
you didn't read it. You just saw the title.
I just looked at the pictures. So it said, sleeping in on weekends is bad for you.
Oh, really?
I didn't want to read any further than that because I like to sleep in on Sunday.
You don't want
to
know why
I only get
it's
one
bad.
Day. Yeah, I got up and come to do this thing.
You don't want to know what's bad for you.
It's bad.
If you don't know what's bad for you, well, maybe then you might not be bad for you.
Everything's bad for you.
Nowadays, yeah, everything's bad for us.
I forget. Now I lost my whole train of thought there. Okay. So, So, remember last week, Tom, I was talking about the jerkbaits for bass, right? And I was talking about that one super deluxe expensive bait that I was too cheap and I only bought one. And then I just caught, I don't know, 100 smallies on it last year up in Door County. Had to replace hooks and got just demolished. This is it right here. Yeah. I had said ebony bone. It's E-L-E-G-Y bone. It's the Mega Bass Vision 110 Elegy Bone. I circled it up top there, El Guapo.
Oh, that purple one?
And evidently, has been one of their best sellers of all time. And when I was looking at, 20 different colors there at the store last year, and I grabbed it, was going to buy it, came back, set it three times. I went back and set it back down thinking I'm not spending $25 for a bait, bass bait.
$24.99.
And finally I did take it. But my keen eye, Tom, my astute eye, I instantly knew the correct color to take out of all those 20 colors. I picked the right. Actually, I just got lucky and
I thought it looked kind of cool
with the purple on top.
That's good. Well, you know.
You want some color. Smallies, bright colors for smallies, not always just natural.
If you ever see like emerald shiners in that, they have some of them are a little brownish greenish. I mean, excuse me, purplish greenish like color. They got that color in there. So.
Yeah. So anyway, that's been the hot one. And so now, ill tightwad that I am. I did buy another one in a different color. I got something, I think I got a shad pattern, which looks pretty cool, too. I got a Tennessee shad. Yeah, I bought a Tennessee shad last year, but I got to get another Elegy bone and then maybe another one. You know, the funniest thing, I was fishing with just that one bait, and I caught all these smallies. Never had a break off, and my buddy was up there, Mark Horton, and he had like three or four of these baits, right? He'd spent like $100. And he didn't want to use one of them because he was scared of losing them, right? Because they're $25. Well, after 4 days of fishing, he was using X-Wraps and stuff. And he was doing okay with them. He finally put on his Deluxe Mega Bass Vision 110. And it wasn't 30 minutes later. I hear him grunt, set the hook, hear a snap, and hear a blankety blank, blank, blank. He broke it off within half an hour. I was laughing my arse off because here I am. With, Nick line and bent hooks, and I still can't break it off if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And he breaks off $25 bait.
Now, was it his knot or the line or what?
Here's the deal. Now, Ron had a couple of years ago told us about a knot that is foolproof when you connect the braid
two lines
to the
together.
Fluorocarbon, right? Now, we like a 6-wrap uni knot is generally the universal recommended, and that can be pretty good. But you know, you got to be really careful. One thing, fluorocarbon, you really got to slobber it up when you're tying the knot.
Yeah.
Like they used to say years ago, spit on the mono to try and reduce the friction when you cinch it.
On an improved proof glitch knot,
So, like, even when you're doing a uni-to-uni braid versus the fluorocarbon, that fluorocarbon, the braid will cinch up tight real easy. The fluorocarbon, however, typically will be a little bit more diameter, a little stiffer, and you want to make sure you get those coils tight. You got to cinch. So you really got to be careful when you're cinching it up, slobber it up, and get it cinched right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, too, it pays to retie after because the shock of those smallies smacking it hard, especially if you got the braid, no stretch, and now you got a really, graphite. There's not much given those compared to the fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think the other thing, too, you got to make sure. I think over the years we started to loosen our drag more, but if you get it in numerous hard hits, you can snap off where it goes.
Yeah. We got a caller on the line. Who do you got there, Nick?
Tim in Bayview on the line.
All right. Hey, good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
I'm okay, guys. I want to tell you that I was up in Phelps last weekend, and your guy from Minocqua or Boulder Junction
he wasn't lying about the snow. About 40 inches, we could fish on Friday, and then it proceeded to snow for 15 more inches. And since I left Monday, they have another 15.
Oh, my goodness.
And pretty brutal. We could only fish Friday. A couple shanties were stuck out there. I don't know how they're going to get them off now.
What lake did you fish up near Phelps?
North Twin.
Okay.
Big lake.
Yeah, good lake.
And I want to welcome a new listener I turned on to your show, and he's a loyal guy now, Pewaukee Pat.
Pewaukee Pat. Hello, Pewaukee Pat.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care, guys.
Awesome. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, take
appreciate
care, man.
It. Hey, I should have asked him if he caught any fish.
I know.
He's still there. Okay, yeah.
Friday we caught a couple, and then we couldn't even get out on the ice.
Really, that bad?
I had a heart attack walking back as it was.
Oh man, that's just
a lot
brutal.
Of work, man.
That's brutal. Even down here, the lake's got a lot of snow on them, and it's just tough walking in that. You know, it really is.
So. It is. I felt like I was at the Bataan Death March. You guys
are. Yeah, take care,
man.
Bye.
That was a good. That's one of the best lines, boy. That's a good line.
Have you ever, Tom, been out in the woods or lakes, whatever, and you had to do a long walk where you just got physically exhausted? I mean, just exhausted.
I
guess that'd be a no, because if you can't
if
remember,
I can't, I don't
it
remember
didn't happen.
One. I don't remember
I
one,
think
no.
One of the times I was a kid in high school and I was snowshoe rabbit hunting up in Marinette County. And I actually plugged a couple with the old 22. That's when the cycle was up, and it was a real good challenge to try and spot those things. It was a lot of fun. And I was walking all day long, and no water. Back then, you'd go out. Whoever thought of bringing water with you
exactly.
when you went out?
Yeah, you
whoever
didn't.
Even thought about staying hydrated years
yeah,
ago?
No.
Staying
didn't.
Hydrated was a case of beer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that hydrates you.
Yep.
But I was, of course.
Oh, it is water, you know.
No, alcohol dehydrates you, dude.
Oh, but there's a lot of water in it.
Mr. Survival over here. Okay, yeah. Bring a case of beer and a pack of smokes. You got all you need. You're going to make it.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
And some jerky.
Okay. Well, jerky's okay. That'll help you. Not only is it nutritious and delicious. And anyway, so I was hunting, and I got so exhausted. My legs started cramping up. You know, I was a great athlete back
of
then
course.
At Green Bay Preble High School.
Yeah.
You know, sprinter and powerlifter and stuff like that. So anyway, I got so exhausted, I laid down on the snow. Middle of the afternoon, I remember I laid down on the snow and started to doze off. And it was thick, deep snow. It was
yeah.
It was thigh deep. And I was trudging through it, and I just got... And I laid down, and then I started thinking, hey, I could die out here.
If you
fall asleep,
you'll never wake
it'll
up.
It'll be a sleep I never recover from. So yeah. So I trudged my way back with hamstrings cramping. All the way back to the farmhouse. But
wow.
Yeah, I was tired, man.
I just remembered a time.
Yeah?
When I was rabbit hunting, and there was this pond, all right? And the pond freezes over, and there's a lot of bulrushes around it, a lot of different things. But there's rabbits in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ice wasn't real thick. I fell through up to about my waist. It's hard getting out of, you know, because it was only, I don't know, it was thinner ice, but it was like it kept cracking. I couldn't get on top of it. It kept cracking. So I basically walked to the shore through the break in the ice. And then I had to walk back to my brother's house. Well, yeah, now I remember that. My legs, the pants were frozen.
Frozen, yeah.
I'm walking like Frankenstein, you know,
right.
With stiff legs. And it wasn't so much that I was exhausted. It was just that my legs... They didn't actually hurt then. It was after they started thawing out that they hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they started thawing
you remember,
out.
You remember freezing your hands
yeah.
so bad that when you'd go in the car and put your hands on the dash and they'd start
that's
thawing
when it would
out?
Hurt.
That's when it would hurt like
yeah.
hell.
Yeah, because otherwise it was like numbed from the cold,
yeah.
you know. And then
yeah.
when it starts thawing out, it's like, oh, man, it's like it's on fire. Oh, yeah. Did that plenty of times.
Maybe
that's why I don't care for ice fishing anymore.
Well, do your hands... Do your hands freeze easier now than back then?
Oh, yeah, now because I had some frostbite on my fingers.
I swear to God, I must have had some because, like, if my hands get, like, in the cold water or snow without the gloves, the tips of my finger, that my hands just seem to freeze instantly now. And it used to be
mine too.
I could be out doing whatever, cleaning a deer, whatever, you know, Setting and tip ups, put my hands in the water in the middle bucket.
Yeah.
And yeah, your hands got cold, but a little bit later, you just put your hands in your pocket, dry off. Now my hands freeze instantly.
Yeah.
Is it like a dull pain, or do you get like pins and needles in your fingertips?
Pins and needles. I get the pins and needles. Yeah.
That's frostbite.
Yeah. A lot of pins and needles. Goes like numb on you, you know? So, yeah. Hey, we got to go to a break. There was something I was going to talk about. Now I forgot it, so maybe I'll think about it.
When
I'll talk
we come
to during
back,
the break.
We're going to talk some survival stuff, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Here's our tantalizing tease. When we come back.
Have enough gas in your tank in the car.
Oh, no, no.
And enough beer to stay hydrated.
And enough beer to stay hydrated.
And a few smokes when you get bored.
Well, you got to have a few smokes.
Yeah. So, yeah, all that and more when we come back to Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Okay, I got distracted there.
They don't get no B team here, Danny. What do they get?
They get the A team.
That's right.
You know what,
no
Tom?
No B team for our listeners.
You know, Tom, I would not have known this was the A team theme had you not told me.
Really?
Nah, I was never a big fan of the A team. You know, bunch of guys driving around in a van and.
Okay. And,
Mr. T with all the gold on him. And I'm
when that first came out, I watched it. But now there's reruns of it. I won't watch it now.
Didn't the one guy always have a big cigar in his mouth?
Yeah, George Peppard, Hannibal Smith.
Yeah.
That was
Hannibal.
Hannibal Smith, George Peppard. Yeah, he always had a cigar. Peppard. They had the face man. He was like the handsome con man. B.A. Baracus was Mr. T, and he was afraid of flying, so they had to drive everywhere. But actually,
you know it's, and they had to drug him to get him on a plane.
I was a radio TV film major in college, Danny.
And what was the what was the other guy's name?
Oh, Howlin' Mad Murdoch.
Murdoch.
Yeah, the crazy guy.
Okay, we got an email. This is from Richard. He said, check out this truck recovery on Fox Lake, Wisconsin. This was 2 weeks ago, 17 feet of water. They used airbags to float it to the surface. Great show from Richard. And so they got these. There's a video, you know, so well, we won't. You know what I'm going to do, Danny, is I'm gonna forward this to you so then you can watch it, all right?
Okay. Forward that. But I'll have to wait till I get home.
Well, yes. I
don't have like a smartphone or an iPhone or a phone. I got a flip phone. I got to go home, check my emails. In fact, I'm about 4 days late on my emails. If anybody ever tries to message me on Facebook, realize that I get on there like maybe once every 4 months. And even then I may not check my messages. So yeah, I had a cousin trying to reach me sending Facebook, and then I feel bad like, oh, he wanted me to call him 3 months ago, but I don't check. Some people have to realize that not everybody lives their life with their head in the matrix, okay?
Yeah.
My head, I'm not always plugged into the matrix. See, you ain't going to catch me on social. You can come on over to my house. You can throw a rock against the window.
I'm never going
to. I might answer.
I might answer.
You can pound on the door, but don't always try and do any kind of electronic communication. So
yeah.
I think.
Same here. I am not.
Well, I know you. You don't even turn on your cell phone in the morning when I got to call you to tell you I might be late.
To
the show.
Yeah. When it comes to all that social media stuff, and same thing with text messages.
Well, that you should start checking, dude.
I mean, we need you to change. I don't care.
I don't know what your, textophobia, I think, is what you got.
No.
I think a psychologist could come up with a new one.
Well, here's the problem, Danny.
Social media, there's got to be some new psychology diseases coming out with people.
Here's the problem with texting.
What's the problem?
Now, I need reading glasses, okay?
That's why you got those dollar cheapies you're wearing right now.
Right.
It's called the Dollar Tree store.
So
for a buck, you can buy it.
I need these glasses, right? But the thing is that when I get a text, I can't read it anyway if I don't have the glasses. And I don't always have them with me. So I just cancel it.
How many pair of glasses do you have?
A lot.
Because they're all over. You go to the Dollar General
and
buy 20 of them.
But the thing is that I just got to the point where I was tired of all the, especially all these spam texts.
See, I don't get those.
All this phishing stuff.
I get those.
Yeah. I get them.
Yeah, you sign up for them?
No. There's this one guy named Connor keeps calling me for employment opportunities. I had to swear at him last time.
You've been compromised.
Yeah.
You've been compromised. They've got your identity. You're part of the black web has you, Tom.
They are.
See, they don't get a hold of me. I'm flying under the radar here. What, do we got a call?
No.
Okay. So you're a film TV major. You saw all those.
Radio, TV, film with a minor in journalism.
How about WKRP in Cincinnati?
Great show.
One of the greatest shows of all time. When I was in college, I had buddies who were communications majors, and it was required each week that they watch that.
Really?
Yeah, that was required. It was part of they made it part of the course. So I made it a point to sit with my buddy Joe Hoyer, who was the radio communications major. In the dorm, we had one TV for the whole dorm, 300, 400, whatever dudes in there. One TV and one pool table. That's all we had, buddy. Life was tough.
Wow.
We walked through 3 miles of snow just to get to our classes.
Uphill both ways?
Both ways. Anyway, watching WKRP, I learned to love that show. My favorite character was Dr. Johnny Fever. The doctor. Yeah, that was great. And the great turkey drop, one of the most classic ones, when they went and dropped the turkeys at the mall and discovered that the turkeys couldn't fly. They hit the ground like bags of wet cement. Yeah, Les Nessman was calling it.
That's classic. See, for me, it was Frasier. That was what made me want to get into talk radio. That was my favorite show growing up.
I never watched Frasier.
That was a good show.
That was a spinoff after Cheers.
Yep. And actually, Frasier was very well written.
Mm-hmm.
Very well written.
Oh, yeah. Whole ton of Emmys, all that kind of good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that show, man.
Okay. Tom, what are you trying to do over there? You're typing. You got your cheater glasses on. What the heck's going on over there?
I'm surfing.
What the hell's going on out here?
I'm surfing the web. The World Wide Web.
Surfing the web.
I'm surfing the World Wide Web.
Yep.
Me and my magic fingers working the computer here.
like a bowling ball on a piece of driftwood. That's all he's surfing.
Yeah. And I can't get rid of these things on the bottom here, Bodie. You know, archive zip.
Just put a little salve on that rash, Tom. It'll be okay. It'll go away in a couple days. Don't worry about it.
Archive zip.
It's a zip file. Are you trying to save something?
No, I want to get rid of it, and I can't delete it.
Okay.
It keeps coming back.
He's got 18 viruses now on the station computer.
On the station computer.
Way to go. Bad enough this one doesn't work over here. It's freezing on me. I just closed it out of frustration.
I'm going to close this one, too.
All right, can we talk about something serious?
No, we're going to go to a break first. It's time.
We squandered all that time?
Yes. All silly stuff.
I'm looking at my flip phone. It's 7:42. When we come back, we're going to talk some survival stuff.
You know? Oh, that's right. You don't have the computer up.
No, I don't have it up.
Survival. That's what we were supposed to do after the last break.
I got some information, Tom. I got to give you.
Okay.
Might save your life.
So I shouldn't take that.
Or might
case of beer.
Save you a ticket.
Oh, well, that's a ticket. Well, a ticket to paradise.
We're talking money.
Or what?
Now you're really talking.
Ticket to paradise.
You save this guy a quarter. This guy's wife clips coupons.
Yeah.
All night long.
Well, I don't know about all night
long. Instead of saying, come to bed, with me, honey. No, thanks. I'd rather clip coupons.
I'd rather clip coupons. Okay, take us to a break. Take us, Nick. This guy's driving me nuts over here.
It's the final countdown.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. And before I forget, thank you to all the men in blue, the law enforcement officers out there protecting us, the DNR, the military, the firefighters and first responders. You guys do a lot for us. You're out there working 7 days a week. We support you 100%. And also, Tom, one thing I want to mention, there's going to be most of our listeners are hunters and they value their Second Amendment rights, and right now there's a lot of saber rattling about new restrictive gun control laws, and we do have a Wisconsin Supreme Court vote coming up, I think April 3rd. The gal's last name is Neubauer, no relation to you. Nope. And Brian, I believe it's Hagedorn. I might be mispronouncing.
No, you're right. Brian Hagedorn.
Hagedorn. Yeah. And he is our choice if you want to support Second Amendment hunting rights, because he does hunt. And I think it's more and more important that we get out and vote, even in some of these. What I used to, in the past, did I ever vote in a Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court election? Heck no, I never even paid attention. And I think a lot of us don't pay attention unless it's like a big presidential election. But with today's climate, it's more and more important that we get out there and do vote in even the more obscure elections and, you know, help protect our freedoms.
Yeah, so that vote's going to be coming up in April. So yep. Brian Hagedorn, hopefully... I know you've been trying to, like, get him on the show here. Oh, never mind.
So, anyway.
Sorry
about that. I want to talk about the safety thing. We're moving on.
Survival. Okay.
So, I was talking to a friend of mine, Ted, and he said he's got, here, take a look at these fancy.
Oh, I just put them away.
Your cheater.
Oh yeah! Oh for the life vest. I'm going to get one of these for fishing. Oh my God, those are not cheap.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Oh wow!
He almost got ticketed. He told me by the DNR.
Why?
Because he didn't have it on.
You don't have to wear them.
Apparently, there's a difference.
Oh.
Between like there's type 2 and type 3 and different type life vest. Now this one says a type 2, a number type 3, and I think the standard life vest
is a type 3.
Is the type 3, which
right.
You can normally store below. But I'm wondering whether
it's got to be out.
What's that?
It's got to be out. You can't have it stored away. It's got to be in the boat, like on the back of your seat or something.
Well, in the past, I was never told that. I've gotten checked in the past where I just pulled them out of the compartment. The throwable used to have, you're supposed to have that within out. But anyway,
well, you know what?
I think those ones that are wearable, I think being is they have to inflate once they hit the water. It's not something you could fall over and just grab and float.
Oh, and just throw it to you or something. Eh?
I think maybe there's something about those wearable ones where if you should be wearing it.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, there's two different kinds. One that inflate as soon as it hits water, it inflates automatically, and another one where you got to pull a little ripcord for it to inflate, you know. There's
right.
Two different styles, yeah. And the more expensive ones have the little CO2 cartridge for it to inflate. But I've been told that there are very few times, but it has happened where they did not inflate. But then they got the little ripcord to inflate it. You know, it's like a backup, like on a parachute. You got a backup
right.
Parachute. So you got a backup way of inflating it, yeah.
Well, we'll have to research. Maybe we can talk to...
I'm going to talk to our warden friend, Mr. Zarek.
Or I could talk to Marcus.
Yeah, and we'll find out what the law is as far as maybe one of our listeners knows the exact law.
You know, I was
about these wearable
I did,
life vests.
Marcus was out a couple of weeks ago on a big skidoo snowmobile checking on Pewaukee.
Oh, he was.
I think it was during the walleyes for tomorrow fishery. Yeah, it was. And he was out checking the lake. So talked to him for a while. You know, a lot of the wardens, they get the job because they're like me and you, Tom. They like to, hunt and fish.
Yeah.
But once they get the job, they're so busy. I think he told me he didn't even deer hunt this year.
Yeah, they're so busy working. Oh, speaking about those throwable, I just got to tell the folks this real quick. This is for our new listeners. I've said it in the past, but for new listeners, like we have a new listener today. When it comes to the throwable cushion that you're supposed to have in the boat and it's supposed to be out and readily accessible, I got stopped. I was fishing by myself. I'm on Pewaukee Lake. Warden comes up to check my license. Okay, checks me all out, checks the boat, and he says, where's your throwable cushion? I says, oh, it's in that compartment down in there somewhere. And he says, you know, it's supposed to be out in the boat, readily accessible. And I said, with all due respect, sir, but if I fall out of the boat, who's going to throw it to me? He chuckled a little bit. Well, it really should be out. You know, I mean, because, yeah, if you're by yourself, who's going to throw it to you?
And let's say, like, a tsunami wave hits you,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to go overboard and die, you can real quick grab that.
Yeah, real quick grab that right. with a tsunami wave.
When the tsunami hits you. Wait, no, it's not a tsunami. Rogue wave.
Rogue waves.
Have
oh,
you
yeah.
ever seen a rogue wave on the water?
Every seventh one on a Winnebago. I swear to God.
If it's every seventh one, then it's not a rogue wave, Tom.
Okay, sometimes
it's... A rogue wave is like all by itself.
I know those things. I know. But on Winnebago, seriously, it's like every fifth, sixth, or seventh one, whatever, is larger than the other ones. Seriously, I mean, if anybody fishes Winnebago in the summertime, they can call 799-1250, back me up on this. But rogue waves, yeah, okay, I know what you mean by rogue waves. I don't know if I've never seen
yeah.
one or whatever. I don't
rogue
know.
Rogue wave, I guess. Yeah. It'd be scary to be out on, like, the ocean and have, like, a rogue wave hit you.
Yeah.
Or Lake Michigan or something.
It'd be scary on Pewaukee Lake. Have,
no,
like, a four-footer.
There ain't no rogue waves on
have
Pewaukee.
Have a big four-footer come at you. Oh, God. You know what the problem with bass boats are? You know, they're so low to
right,
the water.
Right,
that when you're standing up in front, all right, you're very close to the water. And when you have heavier waves and you're going into the waves like you should, oh, I had it when I had a bass boat, plenty of times water would come over the front of that boat. But that's why they have bilge pumps.
Well, I was out on the Bay of Green Bay last year by the Sister Islands fishing, and we had a series of huge waves hit us. And all I could think is maybe it was from one of the big ships way out there.
Or a big charter boat, one of the big ones.
No. These waves would not be from a charter boat.
No, they were that big.
These were like big waves, and it seemed like they came from miles away.
Huh.
It's just kind of strange how sometimes those waves seem to spread out and hit you. But you do have to always...
Neptune did it.
I don't know.
Neptune did it.
But, you know, you do always have to be careful.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, having a first aid kit in your boat... That's important because you never know what might happen out there. You know, it also works as a good numbing agent. Now, if you're ice fishing, you can always, let's say you get a hook in you and you want to pull it out. You can stick your finger, let's say you get it in the finger, stick it in the water because that'll numb it. Definitely numb it because that water is cold, right? And so it's not as painful pulling out. But you ever see this compressed air bottles, you know, compressed air? Well, when you continuously spray that on something, it turns almost to ice. I mean, it's so cold. That works as a real good numbing agent.
So not only do you have a hook in your finger, now you got frostbite.
Well, it's not that cold, but it's cold enough to numb. It's cold enough to numb it, you know, if you're just going to rip the hook out.
Having life preservers on the boat, very important. And you see lots of people launching at boat launches with pleasure boats. And the last thought on their mind when they left was life jackets.
Yep. That's why at Smokies, they got them there when they rent boats.
And, oh, yeah. They got
you got to have. I mean, that guy's at Smokies, the fine technicians, got to have them in that boat.
Sure. They'll hang three around everybody's neck.
Yeah.
But not really. Having life jackets. The other thing you cannot have too many of is a life preserver. Fire extinguisher.
Yeah. You got to have a. Well,
fire
that's a law.
Extinguisher.
It's a law.
Well, not really.
Well, it's got to be
only on certain vessels.
16 feet or over.
With an enclosed, inboard.
Tank?
Yeah, inboard because of the fumes and stuff.
No, even with outboard. If it's 16 feet or longer, I think it's got to have
On the Lake Michigan and on the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
But if you're on an inland lake, just a regular 16 foot open like boat, outboard motor, I don't think you need it.
Hmm.
Again, check into those things, but I'll tell you.
Well, I always had one anyway.
I got three.
Yeah,
I carry three now because one can go through pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I told you about the fire. You know, within 3 weeks' time, I helped put out two fires on Pewaukee, burned through both fire extinguishers.
Oh, wow.
And you don't want to be out in the middle of a lake and have a fire.
Yeah, there's certain things you should have, you know.
And those things are cheap enough. You know, you spend $20 on a brand new bait, you can spend $20 on a fire extinguisher.
Exactly. Yeah, think of the money that we spend on rods
and
reels and lures.
You can spend $20 on a first aid kit.
Oh, my goodness. You can spend $20 on just a spool of line to fill up your reel.
Right.
I mean, or more. Yeah, and so it's not that extravagant to go out and get a fire extinguisher. Some of this other stuff, too, safety equipment. It's not a bad idea, Danny.
Yep.
But next time I go out, I'll make sure I take a fire extinguisher, first aid kit, case of beer, is you know, for hydration, and smokes.
You don't. The only thing you
I don't drink beer.
The only thing
you
really take
really
is
don't.
Smokes and a cell phone that you don't have turned on for emergencies, and if you did, you couldn't see it anyway to text.
I know.
So all that means is you're gonna die, buddy.
Yeah. Well, eventually I will. I'm in a dying process right now.
Well, we all are.
Yeah, I know. We all are. Hey, I got nothing really else right now because we don't have enough time.
I guess that's all I got.
Me too.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening, and God bless and stay free, everyone.
Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. Talk to you all next week, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.